Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Movie Files Podcast, Episode 14. I'm Jordan Rowe.
And I'm Charlie Morse.
And joining us today is a very good YouTube buddy of ours. He founded the Cutting Room 101 collab channel, and he puts up reviews every week. Please welcome Film Recall.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. This is the Movie Files Podcast, the podcast where we talk about movies. We review movies every week, talk about trailers and news and all things movies. You can find us on our website, moviefiles.podomatic.com, the word movie, the word files, .podomatic.com. We are on Twitter at Movie Files Show, the word movie, the word files, and the word show. We've got quite a bit to get to this week. Our main event, Cabin in the Woods, the new horror film. We're going to save that for the end with also a spoilers section of the review. So make sure you look on the time codes under the schedule on our Movie Files Podomatic page. So if you have not seen the film, do not listen to the spoiler section because, trust me, you do not want this movie spoiled. We've got some other stuff to talk about, but first off, how are you guys doing?
I'm all right, Jordan. I'm pretty great. How are you, Brad?
I'm doing really good.
Awesome. Yeah, this is should be a fun show. But first, I guess, before all the fun Cabin in the Woods talk and spoilers review and all that, Charlie, you somehow were man enough to go see Lockout this week.
let's get this out of the way.
Out of the three films that have come out this week, Lockout, or The Three Stooges, opened in second place on Friday. Cabin in the Woods opened in third, and Lockout came in sixth. So that shows you how much people care. But Charlie did it. You did end up seeing it. So why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah. Lockout. It follows this man. He's wrongly convicted of conspiracy to commit espionage against the U.S. That is, he's offered a chance at his freedom only if he can infiltrate this sort of outer space prison type of thing that's taken over by these violent inmates, and he has to rescue the president's daughter. What a plot, right? It's like everything we've seen before in a sci-fi movie just mashed together.
But it's in a space prison.
Oh, yeah. This movie was really just not on my radar of films to see at all. I wasn't very excited for it from the looks of the trailer and the stuff I saw at WonderCon for the film. It appeared to be just a complete mess. It looked like every sci-fi movie mashed into one, like I just said. So I wasn't expecting much, and I was on the money. I was pretty much right. The setup of the movie is okay. It gives just enough room for some interesting stuff to take place. Maybe some cool action, maybe some cool visuals, maybe. There's plenty of room for potential here, though, but Lockout just never grabbed me. It never really took off. I really did not like this movie at all. I've been explaining Lockout by saying that it is essentially a video game, not only in its visual effects, but you'll hear about those later, but everything about the movie, I mean, like the dialogue, the characters, the incoherent, stupid, just terrible action. And, you know, the film's plot even has a very video gamey structure. You've got the damsel in distress, the very one-dimensional damsel in distress, the sarcastic sort of renegade hero, and a bunch of evil guys for him to take down, and there's your movie. That's really it. And really one of the worst parts about the movie is that it really doesn't know what it wants to be. And it kind of comes off as kind of lazy and amateurish. And something I have to point out is that there are movies that have existed that are able to blend clever or funny dialogue all while having this just like high stakes action. And not only does this fail at achieving either of those, but the tone is all over the place. There are tons of instances where the film's playing itself straight, and then all of a sudden it becomes straight up goofy and almost cartoony even. And I thought, as a result, it felt extremely uneven, kind of sloppy. And the acting, I could see a lot of people liking Guy Pearce in this role. He's clearly giving it his all. He's charismatic. He's sarcastic. But personally, I thought he was overly sarcastic. And the one-liners that he's given in this movie, it makes his performance, it's like a parody of himself. It's really terrible. And you certainly get a good taste of it in the trailers, but I'm not joking. Every line of dialogue from Guy Pearce is sarcastic or trying to be witty, and it's really obnoxious. It feels fake. And Maggie Grace, she's in the movie as well. She's from Taken. I didn't mention that this is produced by Luc Besson, I think, right? Is that, am I correct?
Yeah, Brooke? Yeah, he did. Well, he did. He produced Taken. What else is he? Hasn't had a lot of hits lately. He did that. What was the last one he did?
The lady,
the Zoe Saldana. What was it?
Colombiana.
Yeah, he did that one too.
Yeah. But she's in this. This is the daughter from Taken. Her character doesn't require much. She's extremely one-dimensional, and she's just really not given much to do. But I thought she was charming enough, I guess. Really, overall, I thought the acting was fine. There were some sketchy performances from some of the smaller characters and whatever, but it's really the writing that's the primary problem with this movie. And now I can get to the special effects. I don't know the budget of this film, but the visual effects are just very inconsistent, I'll say that. Some of them are good enough, and a few of them are among the worst special effects sequences that I've seen on the big screen ever. I mean, there is one motorcycle chase scene towards the beginning that looks straight out of a cartoon, not even a video game, a cartoon. And it isn't even shot well. The camera's just like spinning around, and there's explosions everywhere, and everything's all sped up, and it doesn't flow right. You cannot tell what's going on at all, and all around, it looks terrible. And the ending of this movie sucks. So there you go. That's Lockout. So I'm done talking about this movie. It's uninspired. It's a sci-fi movie that literally fails at delivering on any sort of level. It's a complete mess, very forgettable, falls short in just about every way you could imagine. If you've seen the trailer, you've seen the movie too, so there's really nothing else to it. I'm going to give it a 1.5 out of 5. Really didn't like this movie.
Yeah, I had like no interest. Brent, what did you think of the trailers? Or you did not see it, correct?
Yeah, I didn't see it. You know, it didn't look as bad as you just made it sound, but now I don't want to see it at all.
Yeah,
it's not very good. I wasn't, like, dreading it, really. I mean, it didn't look too good, but I didn't think it looked terrible either. I thought it looked fine, but oh boy.
Yeah, I think we reviewed the trailer a while back, and I was just not impressed at all.
Yeah.
So. Whatever. Lockout, it's not even making money. As I said, it opened at 6th. It made about $2.2 million on Friday, and it's like forecast for the entire weekend to make about $6 million. So, that's not good.
Too bad.
Anyways, Lockout, there you go. Before we get into our lengthy Cabin in the Woods review, one major trailer came out this week, and I think it's one... I know, Charlie, you and I were both excited for it. I don't know about you, Brent, but Looper, the new film from Rian Johnson. Brent, have you seen Brick, the Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Rian Johnson film?
I actually just saw it for the first time about a month ago.
Did you like it?
I thought it was fantastic. It's like one of the best movies I think I've seen of the 2000s.
It's great, yeah. It's one of the best directorial debuts I've ever seen, I think. Like, just the amount of, just how creative and just how well put together everything was, I thought it was great. And it's awesome seeing them back. This new movie, Looper, it's one I've been anticipating for a while. It's set in the future. And Charlie, I forgot to mention, Charlie talked about the trailer from WonderCon a month ago when... it premiered, and now we finally, the rest of us, finally get to see the trailer.
Yeah.
It's set in the distant future where time travel has been invented, and they have these assassins called Loopers who have their targets that they're supposed to assassinate get sent back in time where they assassinate them in the past. It's kind of complicated, but the trailer makes it easy to follow. And one day, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who's one of these loopers, these assassins, gets a target sent back in time, and it's a future version of himself, played by Bruce Willis. And he lets the target escape, which sends him on the run. What did you guys think of this trailer? I guess I'll ask you, Brent, first, because Charlie, we got to discuss it a while back. So, Brent, what did you think of the Looper trailer?
Well, I love the concept for the film, and it just looks like it's going to be a really fun action movie, but at the same time have a story that you can really get invested in. It sounds really intriguing, and hopefully it's one of those movies that sticks with you for a while afterwards. It also looks like one of the more original sci-fi movies, I think, since Inception.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm a huge fan of Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis. They're two of my favorite actors, so I really doubt there's going to be any issues with the acting.
No, definitely. And it's interesting, I heard an interview with Joseph Gordon-Levitt somewhere about this movie. He said this is the best project he's ever worked on, in his opinion. So that definitely gives me hope. And I completely agree. I think I mean, I knew the premise going in. I thought it sounded really cool. And the trailer, I think, Charlie, you brought this up too. It doesn't look like what you would expect it to, just from the sound of it. But because it's definitely like a science fiction film, but it feels so much more grounded. And it's got an old school kind of atmosphere to it. And you brought this up too. It looks pretty gritty, and which I think makes it way more effective and cool. And I love in this trailer the way it's put together. And even like just little things like the sounds, the music they choose, I thought it was really cool. There's a lot of awesome shots that Rian Johnson gets that I'm sure will make a lot more sense in the film, but just really grabbed me while watching the trailer. And if anything else, I just hope this movie puts Rian Johnson on the map, like as a mainstream director, because the guy has got so much talent, and there's so many big directors today that I don't think have that much talent. So hopefully this gets him out there. And I feel like knowing Rian Johnson's track record, knowing how well he can write a script, I think this movie, this is going to deliver, I think. And Rian Johnson, I think, even said at an interview I saw, he said something like, there's a lot of surprises and stuff you wouldn't expect coming with this movie. So I'm so in for this movie. I'm definitely sold. It's one of my most anticipated for the rest of the year, easily.
Yeah, I saw this trailer a month ago, as you mentioned, at WonderCon. I've been just anxiously waiting for this trailer to drop so I can see it again, and now it's here and we're talking about it. Very exciting. And really, this, I'm just going to be kind of saying what I was saying, you know, when I talked about it on the podcast and on my YouTube video, but really what surprised me the most about this trailer is that it is so action-packed. A lot.
Yeah, that too.
A lot more than I was expecting. I knew the concept, but I had no idea what to expect. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know it was going to be that crazy, and it just looks so good. It showcases and sets up this concept just so well. And originally, that's what got me hooked, was the film's premise. You know, I heard about this film before I had even heard about Brick. So the premise really excited me, and then I saw Brick, and now, I mean, I'm just so excited for this movie. I'm just happy to see the trailer again. I get the tone of the movie now, not a glossy, pretty, futuristic sci-fi movie. It's a lot more grounded and realistic, like you said, just kind of gritty even. Mm-hmm. And it just looks like a great action movie with some thought behind it, some great people behind it, and just really, I mean, Bruce Willis, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, this movie's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see it. And also, Shane Carruth is involved with this movie.
Right, the primer. The primer guy.
Yeah, he wrote, directed, starred in that movie, and like I said, I'm convinced this guy knows how time travel works. So that's just super exciting, knowing that he's, you know, somewhat involved with this movie.
Yeah, I'm in. that's all there is to say. I don't know about you, Brent, but I was talking to you, Charlie. I don't know if I've watched a trailer over and over again within like the span of 2 or 3 days as much as I have for this in a while. Yeah. Like, I've seen the trailer just over and over. It's so good. It's so well done. I think this is what I want from a teaser trailer, because I'm going to be honest, so many of these teaser trailers that come out just barely give you anything. I think this gives you just enough to know what you're in for, but it doesn't spoil anything. So totally. I think trailer editors should be taking notes from this. So, yeah, I absolutely love this trailer.
Yeah, and it also, it's a good length, too. It's like, it's like 1 minute 46 seconds or something.
It's that length, but it feels like you saw so much more than
seriously.
At least for me anyway, so.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's just enough. That's a great way to put it. Literally just enough. That's all I needed to see.
And I'm going to say, if you go see Cabin in the Woods in theaters, if there was a reason not to already, we saw the trailer for it on the big screen, which was fantastic.
That was actually the first time I saw it, was before the movie started.
Oh.
It was like an awesome viewing experience.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was funny because, Charlie, both you and I were like, I hope we... Because we had seen the trailer online because it dropped that day. And watching the trailers roll before Cabin in the Woods, we were just both like, I hope they show the Looper trailer. And they did. So that was...
And they showed so many shitty trailers too, like Safe and like all this terrible stuff. So that was really exciting seeing that. And I just wanted to mention, because I saw Cabin in the Woods on Thursday night, and then I saw it at the same theater that we saw it at on Friday again, and they didn't play the trailer.
What?
I know.
So basically what we're asking you to do is petition theaters to actually run the trailer. No. No. But there's a good chance you'll be seeing the trailer, so whatever. It's an awesome trailer. Regardless, just watch it. If you want to watch the Looper trailer, head over to our website, moviefiles.podomatic.com. Under the notes and links section, we link all of the trailers and news we talk about, and you'll find a link to the Looper trailer. Just watch it over and over again, because I don't know if you can tell, but we absolutely love the trailer, so it looks great. Yeah. Last up, definitely a movie I was looking forward to. The Cabin in the Woods finally came out. This thing has been in limbo for so long. It was shot, I believe, in 2009. But then it got caught up in all of the MGM bankruptcy deal, and it was getting thrown around a while. I heard at some point they were going to try and hold it off to post-convert it to 3D. This thing has been all over the place, and it's been in the can for a while, but it premiered at South by Southwest a month ago, opened the entire festival, and it just got a terrific response, and there's been a ton of early screenings across the U.S. that have just gotten similar reactions, so my anticipation for this movie had been building and building, and just, I have not been this excited to see a film, I want to say, like, in years, just the amount of great things I had heard, like, I feel like since Inception was maybe like the last time I felt just a unanimous anticipation building just for something I was so interested in. And I really don't want to give away the plot. I'm sure if you have heard any other reviews of it, know that you do not want to have this movie spoiled for you. I would even say stay away from the trailer because we can get into it with the spoilers. There's some lines and clips they show in the trailer that reveal too much for my taste. Just a brief plot. It's the setup. These five kids go on a road trip into a cabin in the woods. No, obviously they would. You think you know the story, as the tagline suggests, but trust me, you do not. There's a completely other side to the story, and some weird things start happening in this cabin. And the other side of the story, I don't want to give too much away. It gives the audience a reason as to why these creepy things are happening. Brent, what did you think of Cabin in the Woods? Were you excited as we were?
Yeah, I was so pumped for this movie. Like you said, just hearing about this movie 3 years ago, and then it finally releases. And like you said, it's incredibly tough to talk about without spoiling. Mm-hmm. But just my thoughts seeing it, I think the acting was really good, and I like how they kind of give you the same cliched characters you see in every horror movie. And I mean, it's so suspenseful, it's creepy, it's hilarious, and it has one of the best movie props I've ever seen with Marty's character.
Hmm. Oh, I know. We will get into that in spoilers, but I completely agree. The character
that is going to be iconic, that honestly. That
I think that's
going to
go on eBay for like a couple million. Like that's
I'd have to keep that prop if I was him.
Yeah, me too. it's awesome. Okay, Charlie, what did you think of Cabin in the Woods? Seeing it, was the hype, I mean, we talked about our most anticipated April movies last episode, the hype, I know we were both pumped to see this movie, did it pay off?
Totally, absolutely. I mean, this has been receiving the most positive of buzz from its premiere at South by Southwest, and honestly, saying that I was excited to see this movie would be an understatement, and I have to note, though, that while the film is marketed as a horror movie, and obviously there's something else to it, it's really not just that. It's not.
I'm gonna go all the way and say I don't think this movie's scary at all. Like at all.
No, it's not.
But I don't fault the movie for that. And I think, and I don't know if you guys ever check CinemaScore, but audiences gave the film a C, I think because they went in with the mindset of it just being a typical routine slasher movie, which it's not at all.
I think a lot of people really missed the point of the film.
I agree. This is a film that you really, it is tough to talk about, which is why we're adding a spoilers review section. Because, and I beg of you again, if we haven't mentioned it for like the 10th time, you better not listen to the spoiler section. And I don't know about you guys, I was just avidly staying away from spoilers all week. I'd heard even more screenings were held this week with the film, and just more and more positive things, and I made it an active thing to just stay away from any plot descriptions, reviews, you know, possible spoilers. I just stayed away from all that, and I thought it was, I mean, for me, I think I built it up to a level of hype that was just unreachable, but that's beside the point, because this is one of the best horror films I've seen in I don't know how long. It's so innovative. It's funny. Yeah, and that's another thing too. The movie is not scary, but I don't think it. I don't fault the movie for that because it's so. It delivers it on so many other levels that doesn't even become a problem. I really don't want to give this away, but that other level of story besides the kids in this cabin serves as like a satire for how horror films are made today, like how they're made, their purpose, how they please audiences. And that to me is why the film is so unique and interesting. And I saw the film Thursday and I purposely did not shoot my review on Thursday because I wanted to get a sense of what I wanted to say, nail down my thoughts. And ever since Thursday night when I saw the film, I could not shake this movie. It has stuck with me for so long. While I don't think it's perfect, I think that is a test to how great a movie is. You know, there's, like I said, there's two sides to the story that really makes this movie creative, and there's a lot of meta humor similar to Scream, but I think this movie is better than Scream because it works on so many more levels. It's so much more complex.
I completely agree. Yeah.
And I think the commentary is so great. And Brant, you brought up the characters and the acting. They would typically be throwaway characters in any other slasher movie, but I think what works here so well is, you know, this other level of story, this satire level of the movie, I think gives you a reason to care about them. It really makes, like, we'll get into it more with spoilers, but I think that level really puts these characters into the front of the movie and really makes their characters matter and gives them stakes to the rest of the film. And I think just these story levels continuously build as the film goes on. And the final 20 minutes of this movie complete, like, divulge into absolute insanity in the best way possible. And just the last shot of this movie, the whole final 20 minutes are so entertaining and so awesome. At the end of the movie, just like walking out, I didn't even know what to make of it at first. I think if that's the sign of your movie, you don't know what to make of it, but you still enjoy it. I think that shows how great the movie is. I absolutely love Cabin in the Woods. I thought it was so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, this movie, I thought it was brilliant, and it's really a special movie to me. I mean, this is like everything you could ever ask for or want in a horror movie. It is here.
And I think the difference is horror, like people who don't like horror films, because I know some people who saw this film and don't typically like horror, they enjoyed it too. I think if you...
I was just going to say that if you're a fan of horror movies, or even if you hate horror movies, this is for you and you need to see it. It's amazing.
I heard a review, and this is completely on point. If you are capable of watching a horror film, even if you don't like it, you need to see this movie. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I mean, just such a fascinating setup. You know, just an extremely engaging, suspenseful second act and an awe-inspiring third act that literally I could not even comprehend. It was amazing. Yeah. I mean,
it was awesome.
And it's consistently entertaining, funny, suspenseful, surprising throughout. It is a crowd pleaser. My theater was going nuts. Both of my audiences, when I saw it with you and when I saw it on Friday, just went nuts. And
I do want to say, I know some people have said, you know, this film goes in places you wouldn't expect. I think the trailer spoils it to a level of me predicting what was kind of going on, and I was kind of right. And even throughout the film, I was like, maybe it'll go here, and it sort of went there, but still there's so much else in store. And even if, quote-unquote, the surprise is spoiled, which, again, you don't want the surprise spoiled, but even if it is, I think there's so much to admire here about the storytelling and the characters and just the way the film works.
Yeah, what I thought was interesting was everything you see in the trailer, it kind of like shows you within the first 2 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it gave it away right away, pretty much.
They do. Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. That is true. But it's still, I think even if you know that, I think even if the film is sort of spoiled, and even if you think you know where it's going and you maybe are sort of right, I think there is so much else in the film that works that it honestly, like, it's not one of those things where, like, the twist ending is ruined and that's what the whole movie is banking off of. There's not necessarily an ending like that, but I think you can still admire how the film is built and just it's so good.
I do have to mention, I mean, the film script was written over the course of, like, 3 days.
Yeah, and that is insane.
I don't even get that. How is that possible?
I'm assuming the story was planned out beforehand.
But
the script itself is all of the dialogue, all of the jokes, and we didn't even mention the film is downright hysterical. It is. It's
the best comedy I've seen this year, for sure.
It's the best comedy I've seen in years. I don't think I've seen a like, I haven't laughed this hard at a film in I don't know how long. And yeah, like, all of the dialogue, it's so jam-packed with quick jokes that I feel like watching this film a couple times, I think it really gives you a full picture of the film, which is why, Charlie, you had the advantage of seeing it twice, and I definitely want to go back and revisit it for sure.
Yeah. So, and really, it's just the fact that they wrote this in 3 days, but really the fact that they just had this idea and they executed it as well as they did.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, that is impossible. I do not believe it. It's amazing. And I just wanted to add to what you were saying earlier, Brent, is that the acting in this film, I thought it was actually really good. And the film is just perfectly cast. And that's, I think, the best part is that, not of the film, but about, like, the acting, is that it's so well cast, mm-hmm. these roles. All your horror movie archetypes are here. I mean, you know, the good girl, or I guess the virgin,
the jock,
the pretty girl, smart guys. They're all there. Every performance, pitch perfect for their respective role. And I'm just going to say, Richard Jenkins and Bradley Whitford, amazing. That's all. That's it. Amazing.
Yeah, we don't want to get into what they do, but what they do is fantastic.
Yes, that's
So... I think we can all, I mean, if there's anything else you'd like to add before spoilers, either you, Brant, or Charlie, I think we can all safely say, go see Cabin in the Woods, and go see it soon so you can go listen to the spoiler section and like, join in on the fun, because this is a film to talk about with people, definitely.
So, yeah, don't check out the IMDb messaging boards, because there's spoilers everywhere.
And don't read Rex Reed's review. So, that's totally. one word of advice, because...
Yeah, and can we just quickly talk about his review? I mean,
I didn't really read it, but I just even saw the picture he chose was just spoilerish.
See, now I've read it, and I just want to say he's incorrect about a lot of the stuff he says, and he spoils the whole movie. And why he's a terrible critic. I mean, honestly, like, I have respect for him; he's a critic, but you can't write a review like that. Just mindlessly bashing this movie and spoiling it and, like, belittling the people who like it, and it's just it's really messed up. I don't like that.
So basically, don't listen to Rex Reed. Listen to us. Go see the film. And come back and listen to our spoiler section. And for the last time, see the film first. Now we're getting into spoilers, so here we go. All right, people, you've been warned. Guys, let's dive in.
Merman.
Unicorn.
The unicorn. Oh my god.
That's the best use of a unicorn in any movie. It just
in
randomly
history, yeah.
Trots out and shanks a guy in the chest.
So cool.
Just really, in the last 20 minutes of this movie, there are so many unforgettable things going on. Like, I don't know how I'm gonna get rid of these images. Like, it's literally, like, as I was saying earlier, it's everything you imagined in a horror movie. It's here, and you see it. It's like, you know, like the merman, the this, the that. I mean, I haven't even imagined a merman in a horror movie, but it's there. Like,
it's like anything you've seen in a horror film, and anything that you are capable of imagining for a horror film. Like, not even things that have been done before are in this movie. And it's so
And the Japanese girls and the frog.
We might as well get into it. The whole storyline about Richard Jenkins and Bradley Whitford, Bradley Whitford, it's his name, right?
Yeah.
How they're running the scares and they're scaring everything. I mean, like, that part of the trailer was given away. I mean, there's a line in the trailer where they say, bring him to the killing floor, which I go, oh, I think I know what's going on. And I was kind of right. And even throughout the movie, like, I was even thinking, these two storylines between the kids in the cabin and these people down in the headquarters are probably going to intersect, and they're probably going to go down and, I don't know, maybe get revenge or something. And I was right, but it's still... But I'm like, I don't fault the film for that, because it's so much fun regardless.
Yeah.
And I want to just say, one of the best shots in the last decade in this film, that unanimous ding of the elevators and all of the monsters flying...
Oh, yeah.
That is the moment where I go, oh my god. Like, it's just so
that was insane. As exciting as seeing the Matrix lobby shootout for the first time.
Oh my, yeah, it is so, it's just great. It's, there's no, I can't even think of a way to describe it. I mean,
yeah,
go for it.
I was just going to say that the theater just, on many occasions, especially when the elevators open and then they all fly out, theaters across the world erupted. Like,
oh my god.
The reaction that both of my audiences gave after those, I mean, was, I've never heard that much, like, just laughter and screams and, like, everything. It's all there.
Yeah, like, when we saw it, our theater was just insane.
Yeah.
It's just so fun. I want to bring up, because I wrote down all of the things. I didn't even write down necessarily analysis for it. All the things I want to mention now. Let's even just start at the beginning. The cut to opening, the opening title of this film.
Yes. Oh my god, when he's like on the, what's
they're
it called?
They're on the cart.
Yeah, and then he's like, you know, talking about like, hey, do you want to like come over, blah, 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 all this stuff. And then, you know, we sort of zone out as audience members.
Right.
And then he goes like, are you even listening to me to... Richard Jenkins, who's like playing with the coffee thing, and then Cabin in the Woods. That is just like genius.
That is
and
my
so effective, and it's amazing. I love that.
I thought that was great. Yeah, because even from frame one, you don't even know where this film is like, how it's exactly working until about 20 minutes in, where you sort of get a sense of it. I just also want to bring up the whole placing bets scene on which item they're going to choose. It's just
yes.
It's so clever and. Again, like
the list of all the things on the whiteboard, like every
and that's such a great commentary for like studio just funding money for okay, we better make this work, like this horror film. That the whole allegory of this company running these scares is a complete metaphor. You know, it so represents how horror films are made today. Studio just plunging millions of dollars into these horror films, hoping they work. And by the end of this movie, I read a great analysis of it. The last shot of this film where if you see the giant CG hand of the gods slapping down the cabin is essentially like how an audience would react, you know, violently if a horror film is terrible. I mean, we all saw how The Devil Inside pleased audiences earlier this year, and I think it's so clever. That is the word to describe it. It's clever, it's complex, it's so refreshing.
And you know how... first of all, Sigourney Weaver. I mean,
right?
Come on.
I will say that whole thing where she's explaining the gods and it's getting to the end of the world. That for me, I was like, this might be going a bit overboard, but it's honestly like just a super minor flaw that I have.
Yeah, and I mean, I just wanted to say that like when oh my God, just
Sigourney Weaver
when she came out. I mean,
because I didn't know she was in it.
Yeah, I mean, who did? She wasn't credited or anything, or
and
like,
then I
you
love
know.
How in the credits she's the first person listed.
Yeah, and Sigourney Weaver as the director.
That's
I love that.
There you go. See, that's the whole metaphor coming into place.
Yeah. I really liked her, but I kind of wanted to see like Jamie Lee Curtis in her role.
Yeah, that would have been
really funny.
That would have been interesting too. Yeah, that would have. That's actually a good point. Yeah, or someone like. I feel like a couple of different cameos could have made that last act even more awesome, but, I mean, what they did was perfectly fine.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say, remember, like, towards the end with Sigourney Weaver when she was talking about how it's, like, 8 minutes till sunrise?
Right.
And do you think that's, like, the movie ending? It's, like, over? Like,
I mean,
like,
yeah. I mean, the whole thing with horror films, you know, how the whole cliche with horror movies are that the movie, all the scary stuff happens at night, and
yeah,
you
and
know they got
it
suns
up and it's over.
And I don't know if that was in a literal 8 minutes. I don't think it was. It felt shorter, but regardless, yeah, that's just kind of. That was just. It's really cleverly done. It's such a bummer that CinemaScore, I seriously think, destroys movies. Like the audiences just don't. I mean, I think you're right. They don't know what they're getting into. Like, they don't know what to make of the film. They don't really get the point of it. And I don't blame them for not blowing this in the marketing, because I think you had to market it as a horror film to get people in there. But it's just, it's sad, the state of audiences today. I mean, I feel like, I really hope it doesn't, but this is going to go down a similar box office route that something like Scott Pilgrim did. which would like be kick a, ass or a something bummer. Like that would be such a bummer. So,
and I was just mentioning off air before we started recording the podcast that, you know, I was talking to friends about it because we saw it on Thursday night. I had school on Friday, and I was talking to all my friends, and I was like saying, like, oh my god, you guys seriously have to see this movie. Like, if you, like you were saying, if you're capable of watching a horror movie, or like, what's the word you used again? Like,
yeah,
what was
that's it?
Then you have to see it.
It's
you know?
Required. Yeah, and totally.
It's required. And I was saying, like, you got, seriously, and they're just like, oh god, it looks like just like a stupid horror movie. It's like, oh, with like a twist or something. It looks stupid. And I'm like, well, it's just like that hurt me. I was like, oh god, you seriously have no idea. Like, you have to see it.
And I have like had not even seen the film leading up to when I saw it. I was hyping it up. Like, I knew going in that I would definitely at least like it. So I went in. I'm like, this is gonna be a movie that you do not know what you're getting into. Like, it's going to completely subvert expectations, and it's exactly what it did. Just, I think tone-wise, I definitely did not know where the film was going to go, so.
Totally, yeah. Unpredictable. I mean, like, every step of the way, like, I had no idea where it was going.
Yeah. Brent, is there any other scenes in the film that stuck out to you? Anything else that you want to bring up?
I think it was hilarious how the entire movie, I forget which guy it was, but one of the control guys. And he's like, I just wish someone would pick the merman. And then in the end, he's the one that gets eaten.
Exactly. Oh, that was amazing. A great, great setup. Yeah. And there's so many like ongoing jokes like that in the film that just get set up so well. Like, there's so many stuff. Like, even like that, we mentioned, we kind of teased it, that fold out bong / coffee mug, and then like towards the end how that's the reason he whacks down one of the monsters. It's like that sort of stuff is going on all throughout the film, and that's why I think I would love to see this film again, because I was even noticing watching the film, I just mentally was like, I am missing jokes right now. That's how much is in this film. It's so rich, and it's so like, it's so much fun. It's seriously, we throw that around a lot, word around a lot, you know, this is a fun time. This is seriously the definition of fun. Like, I have not enjoyed myself at a movie, like, I think this much in a very, very long time.
Totally. And I mean, I just quickly want to bring up the Harbinger, the guy, the old man at the gas station.
Right.
And the scene when he's on the speakerphone.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's so funny. And with Richard Jenkins just, like, starts cracking up. That's, like, infectious. Like, I started just laughing so hard. That was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think that...
Yeah.
What?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
Did you guys think that fold-out coffee mug was almost kind of like a reference to Evil Dead 2 and Ash's weapons?
I have not seen Evil Dead 2, actually.
Oh, you haven't?
I've seen the first one.
I'm with Jordan. I've seen the first one as well. I have not seen Evil Dead 2.
Oh, you guys got to check that out.
I have. Yeah, it's been on my list for a
while.
For
sure. Yeah, I really want to. I've been meaning to. I just haven't gotten around to it.
And, like, I don't think a horror film is interesting to bring Evil Dead up, because I think tone-wise, that is one of the few films like this that I think has struck that balance between horror and comedy so well. But, I mean, I don't even think this film... I almost don't even want to count it as a horror film. I mean, it totally is, but it's... It's not necessarily like other horror films. It's like it's almost its own genre. It's like if there was a genre for commentary on horror films while not necessarily acting as a horror film, I think this is the film in that genre. And I think
Yeah, what I was saying earlier is that, you know, the film's marketed as a horror film. And I mean, that's what it is. Like, if you go on IMDb, if you go on Rotten Tomatoes, horror film, that's what it is. But it's really about horror and the genre itself. Mm-hmm. And really what the movie does with that is incredible and so well executed and so well done. And I mean, it's incredible, honestly. And just, I'm not going to forget about this movie.
No, definitely not. This is easily my favorite film of the year so far. And I think this is definitely going to go on my top 10 list easily for the year.
I mean, obviously a little early to say that, but I cannot imagine another movie, you know, just, like, beating this one, you know? It's weird to say that because, I mean, like, I just can't, like...
It's that good, yeah.
Yeah, it's that good, but there's so many things coming out this year that it's hard to place it like that. But you know what I mean? I think it will be very high up on my list, though.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I feel like the chances of it falling somewhere on my top 10 list, maybe not like at number one, I think it's definitely going to happen, at least as of right now. I mean, who knows? Maybe Battleship will surprise all of us, guys. But I think at this point, it's safe to say that this is one of the best movies we're going to get for a while, I think, this year.
You'll never look at a horror movie the same way again.
Definitely. No.
And also, that relates to what I wanted to say. This is the horror film to end all horror films. The genre is over.
Honestly, I've heard that from...
And nobody should touch the genre.
I've heard that from some people. I don't necessarily know if the genre is over, but I think you're right, Brent. I don't think I can look at a horror film the same way and just watch it, because this film shows both sides of it. You get the good and the evil. Like, literally, the evil of the film. Like, the whole... headquarters side, like, and how it works and how it operates. But just watching a horror film, just a straight horror film, I totally now, whenever I watch one, it's going to be like, this is just people running it, like in Cabin in the Woods, but this is actually like a studio running the movie. But so
yeah,
I also love how, like, they say we should split up, and then they use that toxin to make them want to stay together. Like, everything was so brilliant.
Exactly. Yeah.
I love that, like, the characters themselves, they aren't stupid, but they have to make them stupid. That's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. I think the characters are one of the... Like, and what I was trying to say earlier is this whole side of the film, the headquarters thing, the fact that they are watching these kids and controlling them, I think puts the characters first and foremost at stake. Like, it's because of that the characters, I think for me, are really memorable and really... I mean, they're not all necessarily the most likable people, but I think... I certainly remember them after seeing the film, so totally. Definitely, yeah. So if you can't tell, we absolutely love this film. Brent, is this your favorite film of the year so far? I know it's both mine and Charlie's. Where does it fall for you?
I think it is. I like The Hunger Games a lot more than you guys did.
Right. I still very much enjoy that film, but I think this, for me, works on a totally different level that I just absolutely admire.
Yeah, I think it's definitely number one, with The Hunger Games as number two now.
Yeah, it
beat out Chronicle for me. Chronicle's at number two.
And it beat out the Jeff Who Lives at Home, The Grey. Like, I had like a whole, and Chronicle, like, were in my top three, kind of sort of pending in those places, but they were there for a while. But now this is totally trumps them all. So go see this movie, people, please. Well, you should have seen this film already if you're listening this far in, but tell your friends, go see this film over and over again, because it's so much fun. I give this film an incredibly strong 4.5 out of 5. I think it's so much fun and near perfect, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that everything taken into account, what Drew and Joss were trying to accomplish with this movie and what they did with it, how well they executed it, I think it's perfect. I mean, a 5 out of 5 for me. I totally, 100% just, I don't even know. There's not even words, you know?
It's a bit of a rambling review, but I think that just shows how much we admire about this movie. There's so much to talk about.
Yeah.
I give it a 10 out of 10. I think it's definitely one of the best horror films I've ever seen, and I'm for sure going to see it again.
Absolutely. Yeah. I also wanted to mention, I forgot I wrote this down, they used, if you guys remember, the whole sequence after the car drives into the, they drive the car into the lake and she's drowning and she's about to get killed, and it cuts to the office party and they use the REO Speedwagon song Roll With The Changes, probably the best use of that song in a film I've ever seen. But it's interesting, even like down to that, the lyrics of that song, there's like the chorus is, if you're tired of the same old story, turn some pages. I mean, that's totally common. That is the movie. That's Cabin in the Woods. It's you think you know the story, but it just completely isn't. So yeah, absolutely love this film. If you can't tell already, we're just, yeah, it's a love fest here for Cabin in the Woods. It's a great movie. Oh man, that's it, I think, guys. If you have not seen Cabin in the Woods, you are able to come back now. We're granting permission. There you go, guys. Episode 14, Movie Files Podcast. I seriously have no words. Cabin in the Woods, guys. See it. Thank you so much, Brent, for coming on here today for our our Cabin in the Woods review. A lot of fun doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a blast. Thanks for asking me.
Yeah, you came in on a good episode, definitely. It was a lot.
I know, I've been dying to talk about this movie to anyone.
Yeah. All right, and Brent, you do YouTube reviews, you have a Twitter. Where can we find all your stuff online?
You can find me on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/filmrecall, and Twitter's the same thing, Film Recall.
Cool, and I should plug our website again, just in case you didn't get it at the top of the show, moviefiles.podomatic.com, the word movie, the word files, .podomatic.com, Twitter @moviefilesshow, and on our Movie Files page under the About Us section, you can find a link to our Facebook page, which you can go like. Please do that. On both the Twitter and the Facebook, it will give you news about upcoming episodes and when they're out, things like that. Charlie, YouTube, blog, Twitter, go.
Yes, I've got a YouTube channel. I do movie reviews, stuff like that. YouTube.com/notcharlesmorse, NotCharlesMorse. And I have a Twitter. I'll update you on my channel there, you know, stuff like that, @MorseReviews. And I have a blog. I'm not even going to repeat myself, but yeah, I am.
Word of advice, go look up Charlie's review of some random 2010 film right now.
How about, okay, my classic review of the week, go check out my Rango review. Why not? You know, it's there. Movie reviews by charlie.blogspot.com.
Yeah, go there. And I am on, I don't even know where I was going with that. YouTube.com/Ronet, Rowenet. Movie reviews, old episodes of the Movie Files podcast. If you did not catch my announcement video, Podomatic only houses a certain amount of content, so old episodes of the Movie Files podcast are going to be uploaded there, so you'll see those every week or so. Twitter @RowenetReview, Rowenet, the word review, and my blog, ronet.wordpress.com. Written reviews and box office reports. I wrote one for Cabin in the Woods, so go check it out, and go check Cabin in the Woods out. In theaters this weekend, in wide release, we have The Cabin in the Woods. We have Lockout, which Charlie already reviewed, and The Three Stooges. In limited release, we have Blue Like Jazz, the PG-13 cut of Bully, The Graduate 45th Anniversary Reunion. I didn't even know that existed. Hit So Hard, How to Grow a Band, Life Happens, and the word life is spelled L, exclamation point instead of the I, F-E, The Lady, the other Luc Besson movie that came out, Monsieur Lazare, Post-Mortem, A Simple Life, Touchback, and Woman Thou Art Loosed, !, On the Seventh Day. And expanding this week in 650-plus theaters is The Raid Redemption, which is another film you guys should go check out.
Yeah, that's another one of my favorites of the year so far.
Yeah, Brent, I actually did see, you tweeted, you did you see the film today, The Raid?
Yeah, I just saw it today.
What did
and,
you think?
Same with Cabin in the Woods, I really have no words after seeing that movie.
Yeah, totally.
It's incredibly brutal, but so much fun.
It's great. Yeah, I love that movie, too. This Tuesday, April 17th, the DVDs coming out are Born to be Wild, Shame, the film I missed, and Brent, we both missed this film, but Charlie really dug this film a lot, so probably
totally,
watch
yeah,
that.
This is a movie definitely worth seeing.
Other DVDs are The Man Nobody Knew, In Search of My Father, CIA Spymaster William Colby, what a title. The Divide, 4321, American Dad Volume 7, Bob's Burgers Season 1, Ice Road Truckers Season 5, Meet the Browns Season 5, the Tyler Perry series, and 7 Below, some direct-to-DVD movie with Val Kilmer and I don't even know. I don't care.
Is that a prequel to 8 Below?
I don't know, but it's the word 7 is spelled like the 7, the film with Brad Pitt. It's S-E number 7-E-N. It's Below.
Oh.
Interesting okay. Lineup this week. But our DVD pick of the week, Blu-ray pick of the week, Ghost Protocol, Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol. All three of us love this film, so go see it if you didn't in theaters, because it's a ton of fun. Next week on the show, hopefully Ben from our Tim and Eric review is going to come back, and I don't think we'll be reviewing any films next week because nothing looks that good. It's either Nicholas Sparks, Zac Efron movie. It's either the Think Like a Man, the movie from Screen Gems. That's quality. And the Disney Nature movie, Chimpanzee, comes out, so nothing that great. But we're going to be counting down our top five most and least anticipated summer movies. And I don't know. I probably know other reviews next week, right, Charlie?
That's the week I'm taking off, definitely. I mean, I usually try to see at least one thing, but I'm not even going to bother, you know? There's no point.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Brent, but I usually try and see everything, like you said, Charlie, but there's, like, usually 1 or 2 weeks where I'll just not see anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything this week. have you heard of the movie Detention?
Yes, I've heard of that. That opened last week.
I'd like
week.
To see that.
Is that on video on demand?
I checked and it's not.
So maybe expanding some places. I'm not entirely sure. I know the Bob Marley documentary is on video on demand, and that comes out next week. So I would potentially watch that, but it's 2.5 hours, so that's maybe not going to happen.
And even if I did end up watching that, which I'm kind of interested in watching, I don't know if you like reviewing it. You know, it's if you're a Bob Marley fan, check it out.
Maybe.
maybe.
I don't know. We haven't seen it. But until
guessing.
Until next time, this is kind of a messy episode, but it's perfectly so. We had a ton of fun doing it. Until next time, everybody, I'm Jordan.
And I'm Charlie, and our guest,
Bram from Film Recall.
And we will see you later. Thanks for listening in.